Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
Time to shine in 2001-9. It all started with the creation of the world. And then Adam and Eve fell. They listened to the devil and turned to creation for wisdom. And they sinned and disobeyed God. And God had to sacrifice an innocent animal to make a covering for Adam and Eve. It always points us to the future. Because of man's sin, the floodwaters came and God brought judgment. But when he brings judgment, he brings salvation. And after the floodwaters, the towers were built, or the Babel, Tower of Babel, and God spread people all over the face of the earth. And about the middle of the Old Testament history, God called Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. But I want to remind you, it was Abraham. Look at the stars. All those stars represent your children. You'll have that many and you'll be a blessing. It was on Mount Golgotha, or that hill, that Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac. Isaac said, "Where is the lamb?" And Abraham said, "God will provide a lamb." Looking to the future, we always know throughout the Old Testament that God would provide his lamb. But until a lamb, an unblemished lamb, a sacrifice of innocence for sin covering was always needed. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. Number 11 was Joseph. Joseph was second in Egypt. All the children of Israel made it to Egypt. Joseph died. 300 some years later, Joseph is remembered no more. And the God of Joseph, Abraham, Isaac, and Joseph, you might say, is remembered no more. The children of Israel are in bondage in Egypt. God raises up a Savior, a Redeemer, named Moses. Moses stands before Pharaoh and ushers in 10 plagues. Now, this was last week. For those of you who are here, if you missed it, you can go online and hear about this sermon. Each plague knocks off a god of Egypt because the Egyptians turned to nature and worshiped small g gods of nature. And each plague knocked off a god. The 10th plague was Emmanuel for Egyptians. Pharaoh was a god. They looked to a man as being a god. And the 10th plague was the killing of the firstborn, and Pharaoh was knocked off. Now, after these 10 plagues, it is God who ushered in a very sacred meal called the Passover meal. And once again, blood had to be put on the door frames. Innocent lamb had to be sacrificed. It was the Old Testament covenant that an innocent animal had to be sacrificed. It was the celebration of the Passover meal that Jesus ushered in the new covenant. And later on, we'll be celebrating that. Jesus said, "In my blood." 10, once again, that number comes up. The children of Israel are headed to the promised land. Moses goes up on the mountain and God gives him 10 commandments called the law. Now, in the Old Testament, there's civil law, how to conduct business, how to buy and sell land, how to rest land, civil law. Then there is ceremonial law, What is clean and unclean? How to sacrifice? But then there's this moral law, it's called, I'm just going to call it the Ten Commandments from God Himself. Tonight, I'm going to deal with just the Ten Commandments. Now, it was just last year that Dr. Spomer and I went through all Ten Commandments, and it was the time that I taught everybody sign language with the Ten Commandments. I'd like to run through those real quick with you. If you remember them, do them with me. Number one, God first. Number two, do not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Number three, remember the Sabbath day, keeping it holy. Commandment number four, honor your father and your mother. Commandment number five, make a knife, do not kill. Commandment number six, mom and dad are to say together, don't commit adultery. Commandment number seven, okay? Do not steal. Commandment number eight, do not bear false witness. Commandment number nine, this is a house. Do not covet your neighbor's house. Remember that? Commandment number 10, don't covet anything. Okay? Yeah. Remember that from last year? How many of you remember that? Yeah. Why is this important? This is what God said about his commandments. I write them and I put them in stone for you. That's how important it is. Before you teach your children how to throw a baseball, how to ride a bike, how to roller skate, you better be teaching them the Ten Commandments. Amen. Write them on your door frames, the Bible says. Where would our nation, where would we be if the first thing we taught our children are the Ten Commandments? And they had to memorize them before they went to school. Wow, now you know how important it is. So tonight, we're going to take a look at those commandments real quick. Now, the devil wants you to look at the Ten Commandments as, oh, putting you down, something that's going to hurt you, something that's going to oppress you. No, God wants you to look at the Ten Commandments as a way of improving your life, improving the way you shine in 2001:9. Open up your Bibles if you haven't closed them. I mean, if you have closed them, open them to Exodus 20 again. The children of Israel come out of Egypt where they worship creation. All the gods. Let me tell you what the devil wants you to do. Turn to creation as your God. Yeah, that's part of his temptation. The Egyptians were full-blown worshiping creation. God brought them out through the plagues, and they're going to the promised land. He says, now listen, this is what I want you to get down, because it seems mankind is always going back to creation, so I'm going to put it in stone. I'm going to pick it up, verse 4. Exodus 20. You shall not make for yourself a graven image of any likeness or anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I am the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Did you hear that? God is jealous for you to make him number one. Now, Joel Osteen wrote a book several years ago, one of the bestsellers, called Best Life Now. Anybody read that book? I've read it. Where did he get the idea, Best Life Now? It's God's idea, not his. Let me put it in this way. The Ten Commandments are God's way of saying, this is how you can have the best life now. This is how you can really enjoy life and get the most out of life. Let me tell you how Jesus said it. I have come that you may have life. Life abundantly. What's he referring to that when he says that? I believe he's referring to the Ten Commandments. Yeah. I want you to look at the Ten Commandments in a positive light. Number one, best life. Who here could or would like the best life? I think we all would. Sign me up. I want the best life. Here you go. Put God first, and you'll have the best life possible. You see, the Egyptians did not put God, the creator of heaven and earth, first, and everything came undone for the Egyptians. Whenever in the Bible people put other things, creation, before God, life comes undone. You want the best life right now, today, 2019, in Broken Arrow, put God first. If you put anything before God, you put your spouse before God, I believe your life will become undone. You put your job before God, your life will become undone. You put your children before God, your life will become undone. Anything you put before God, your life will fall apart. But if you put God first, you will have the best life now. Let me put it in a way that I think you'll understand. Let's say you go to the doctor, the best doctor, and the doctor does all the tests, blood, has the meeting with you, and when the doctor walks in, he is not happy. Well, I don't want to be accused of being a chauvinist. She or he, whatever, whoever, comes in and you're going, uh-oh, this isn't good. Puts all the paperwork down, opens it up and says, I've got some bad news for you. You have extremely high cholesterol. And if it continues, you could have a heart attack, a stroke. You're not going to live very long. And you're going, oh, no. And then the doctor says, but now listen, I've got some good news. Here are 10 things that you can do, guaranteed to lower your cholesterol. Some things you have to eat and some things you can't eat. These are some things you're going to have to do. All right. Now, there's three ways you can respond to that. Let me give you the first way. Who are you to tell me what I can do and can't do? You can just imagine the doctor going, well, I'm a doctor. There's my credentials. I mean, there's my degree. This is my specialty. I don't care. I'm not going to listen to you. Well, you're not going to have a very good life. I don't care. Here's the second response to that. Oh, you expect me to eat this? Okay. Better reduce my cholesterol, doc. Oh, I can't eat that anymore? Oh, okay, I'll do it. But boy, it better work or I'll be mad. Here's a third response. Oh, doc, thank you so much. I need this. And you're saying I get my cholesterol come down if I do this? Oh, doc, thank you so much. Doc, I love you, man. If you understand those three responses, those are the responses people when it comes to the Ten Commandments. People who don't believe, people who could care less what God says, who are you to tell me? Remember Pharaoh? Who is Yahweh and why should I obey him? You see, God's word is medicine. And when you take the medicine, You can have the best life now. If you don't, your life will become unraveled. And you're going to have all kinds of problems. Commandment number one, put God first. You'll have the best life. All the other nine revolve around this commandment. Number two, how to have a controlled life. You ever seem out of control? You ever seem like, man, I'm out of control? Here's God's commandment, how to control your life. Control your tongue. Do not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Let me tell you how James says it. Your tongue is the rudder of your ship. You want to know your future? Your tongue decides. Your tongue is like a flame. It can purify or it can destroy. You show me somebody who can't control their tongue, and I'll show you somebody who's out of control in their life. You show me someone who can control this tongue. I'll show you somebody who can control anything in their life. It's the most powerful muscle in your body. How to have a controlled life? It starts with your tongue and honoring the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Number three, arrested life. You ever burn the candle at both ends? You ever go through life, go, I'm so worried, I'm so tired. Here's how you get rest in life. Take a day off. Make it holy and sacred to God. It is the Lord's day. God gives you 6 days. Number seven is his. It's not yours. Turn to somebody right next to you. It's his day. You get that? He gives rest. And when we remember him, he forgives us, renews us, and strengthens us. You want to get more done in 6 days than you ever could in seven? Take a day off. Remember him. You're doing it right now. This is how we remember the Lord. This is how we get spiritual rest that affects us physically. You want a long life? Honor your father and mother, and you'll live long in the land you're given you. Let me tell you what fathers and mothers tell children. Don't text while you're driving. Did you get that, Vincent? Huh? Did you? Yeah. Don't drink while you're driving. Don't hang around with these people. You see, if we listen to moms and dads, as I had to when I grew up, the chances are you're going to live a lot longer. Guess what? Anybody in authority over you, police officers, the government, bosses, step-parents, grandparents, how to live a longer life. Honor those that God has put and placed in authority over you. Enjoy life, number five. You want to have an enjoyable life? Do not murder. Being in prison is not an enjoyable life. Okay? But this goes to the heart of the matter. Jesus said, you have to forgive. That's the opposite of murder, forgiving. Because if you want a murder, that's vengeance. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. A terrorist wants to murder. Take vengeance out. But God says, trust me, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You want to murder somebody? Don't do it, and trust me. Learn to forgive. The opposite of murder is forgiveness. You see, when you forgive somebody, that's what God wants you to do. That's being obedient to him. If you don't forgive, he won't forgive you. We learn that from our God. And when you forgive, the idea of murder melts away. Vengeance melts away. That you have to be in control and get even melts away. And you know what happens? Freedom. To let go and let God. Do not murder. Enjoy life. Number six, healthy life. Want to have a healthy life? Have a healthy marriage. Yeah, if you don't believe that, just talk to anybody who's going through a divorce. They're not healthy at all. They're miserable. Work hard on your marriage. Do not commit adultery. It affects the children and everybody around. You want a healthy life? Stay committed in your relationship. A trusted life? Do not steal. You want people to trust you? Don't steal. Nothing. Don't steal from the government by April 15th. Don't steal from your boss. Don't steal from one another. Don't steal. And you'll have a trusted life, a believable life. You want people to believe you? You want to be a life where somebody goes, now that life's believable. Don't lie. We live in a world where everybody seems to lie from the top down. Don't you jump on board. Don't lie about anything. Not a white lie, nothing. Speak the truth. It'll set you free. And God's in charge and says, if you speak the truth, what you want, I'll give it. Oh, no, I can't get it my way unless I lie. That's a lie from the devil. You get it your way when you put God first. Because he says, I'll give you the desires of your heart. Don't lie. A believable life. A good life. Don't covet. You know how you're coveting? Your neighbor's house? Oh, when I win the lottery, I'm going to build a mansion. I'm going to build a house for me and all my children. What are you coveting? Huh? You don't covet. It's uncontrolled desire. Oh, I got to have it. Got to have it. Don't covet anything that is your neighbor's. Don't try to be like the Joneses. You want a content life? Be content with what God has already given you. An uncontent life is buying things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't even like. An uncontrolled life, gotta have it, whether that's alcohol, drugs, gambling. Oh, I gotta have it because this is how I'll get ahead. This is how I feel like God. You turn to creation when you covet to make you happy and fulfilled. Don't do it. Let me tell you, God has called us to be points of light. You want to shine in this world? Right here. Live your best life. Put God first. A controlled life, a rested life, a long life, an enjoyable life, healthy, trusted, believable, good, content. Wow! That will speak to people. But Pharaoh asked the question, who is Yahweh? Creator of heaven and earth. Everything in creation, he spoke into existence. Who is Yahweh? The one who knocked out 10 gods of Egypt, who gave us the 10 commandments and says, if you live by these, you'll have the best life now. Why should I obey him? So your life doesn't become unraveled. So it's controlled and you shine to others. By obeying those 10 commandments. Now remember back to that doctor? Let me tell you, Jesus came so you, and me could have the best life now. Here and now, today. If you're unraveled in any place in your life, start from the beginning. Put God first. And things will come together. That's God's promise. But let me tell you about the great physician. Not only does he say you can have the best life now, he guarantees this, you'll have the best life forever. You can shine now as someone who keeps the 10 points of light, but you can shine forever in heaven. Listen to the great physician. This is the Father's will. That those who look to the Son and believe in him will live forever. I will raise them to eternal life. Your forefathers ate manna in the desert and they died. A true bread from heaven has come down. And if you eat of it, you will live and not die. I am, Jesus said, the living bread that has come down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will not die and will live forever. Now the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. You see, it's the great physician that gave us the Ten Commandments. So we could have the best life now. But when we break them, innocent blood has to be spilled. In the Old Testament covenant, it was a lamb. God provided the lamb. And he said, as we sang tonight, if I walk from the grave, you will walk from the grave. The Lamb of the New Covenant is the one who gave us the Ten Commandments, who provided every lamb in the Old Testament. God provided every lamb, but man had to sacrifice it. Now God came and sacrificed his own lamb. His name was Jesus. And it's out of our love for Jesus that we should obey the Ten Commandments. Thank you, Jesus, for allowing me, you, the great physician, to live the best life now. It should not be, oh, if I could murder you, I'd murder you. But God said, no, and I'm not going to murder, or else I would. That's not love. God's, where's your heart? You see, the Pharisees and the scribes, they kept the commandments, but they didn't have love. Do you have love in your heart? Love for the Lamb.